Right now it's 27 degrees on Triple M.
As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
It's another week of Get This. Has someone on this show popped into the Dunnies with a horny Ray Fiennes? We'll find out in the next 2 hours.
We are your pre-ops connection.
Are we?
Pre-ops transgender connection. Find out why.
I see. What was Sylvester Stallone hiding up the back passage? Who else has unveiled a radical new look a la Britney Spears? We're looking at you, Richard Marsland.
And who do we know that's in Ghost Rider?
Oh, do we?
Oh, somebody.
Somebody who's in that.
Mm-hmm.
Is their head on fire?
Maybe.
We'll find out. Facts, are they overrated? Damien Lovelock is with us, and he'll be talking about how to talk your way into something.
You know it.
That's all coming up on
your questions for Beck Hewitt.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
We've been saying that every week for a month. We haven't even been on for a month, and we've been saying it every week. We just love
just to each
saying
other.
It. It's all coming up on the newly plumped, steroid-enhanced Get This.
The testosterone level of a 12-year-old girl and testicles the size of peanuts.
That's our show. Oh, look, in excess, what you need, if what you need is 2 hours of nonsensical blather, you've come to the right program.
Good.
It's Get This Around the Nation, another week of it with myself, Tony Martin.
The way the guy stuffed that bird inside his pants is strict animal cruelty.
I remember that. We've got Ed Cavalli.
He's got the wit. He knows how to work women. But just, if you can, try not to fall for it, because he will break your heart.
And, of course, pushing buttons, it's Richard Marsland.
The testosterone level of a 12-year-old girl. And testicles the size of peanuts.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what's that from?
The man whose arms exploded, which...
Oh, was that finally on?
It was on the weekend, and not as funny as the title suggests.
Oh,
it actually ended up being a dark journey into the abyss of steroid abuse.
Yeah, on the old...
So who's got the testosterone level of a 12-year-old girl?
That was the man whose arms exploded.
I thought he'd have quite a lot of testosterone. Isn't that the idea? Was he pumping himself full of 12-year-old girl juice?
His body started reacting badly.
Really?
And he had a bicep that was full of pus that he ended up operating on himself. It was hideous entertainment.
How does one operate on themselves?
Well, he got the... I mean, really? Do we want to... Is this for tips for people at home?
I'm guessing it's unsuitable. People may still be breakfasting.
Yeah, true. Maybe.
But am I guessing it wasn't, you know, this is the Crime Investigation Network.
Mm.
It was all sizzle, the man is.
What's the crime?
Exploded.
Definitely. Yeah, it was all sizzle. The brand was stronger than the content itself.
Ooh.
We know that feeling.
Yeah.
Steroid abuse was the crime. Hey, can I just... I haven't looked at today's papers yet. Let me just guess. You have, Ed.
Yeah.
Are these headlines in today's paper?
What
am I right? Rocky starts or Stallone tour?
That was in there, definitely.
Have they got... Oops, Britney Shears, snip me baby one more time.
Unfortunately, yes.
All three of those.
Wow.
In the Herald Sun. What about headline writer hacked to death by angry readers? Is that in there?
That I'm not sure of.
The pun was, of course, the word hack.
Yes.
But, of course, the big story, Rafe. A fines all time.
Mm. Oh, is that what it was?
In an airplane toilet. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw. Have you been following this?
Well, hang on a sec. The first question is, what's anyone done wrong?
Well, that's it. It's not a crime. It's nothing for the Crime Investigation Network. It's not like his arms exploded while he was in there.
But once you have a mile-high sex scandal on the CV, you can change your name to Ralph, because Rafe is just a ridiculous pronunciation.
True.
It's too poncy for someone who's shagging in the toilets.
That's right.
It's not Rafe magazine.
No.
It's Ralph.
That woman will be posing for Rafe, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'll happen.
Lots of people like to take Rafe into the toilet with them, I think you'll find. Okay, what else have we got? There's so many little details on this. I notice the hostie's dad has weighed in.
Happy with it?
Jealous. He reckons that's... Not him.
Hang on a second.
That's disturbing imagery.
Wow.
It's the man whose arms exploded. No. He reckons that the other Qantas colleagues who dobbed her in were just jealous. And this is his quote. They were probably as ugly as a hat full of arseholes.
Yeah, probably. A pith helmet full of arseholes. That's ugly. But did she get dobbed in? Is that how they found out?
Yeah, apparently the co-workers dobbed her in. Although there's a great quote from her in the tabloids over the weekend where she says, I knew I was in big trouble.
Mm.
I was ordered to spend the rest of the flight working in economy.
Oh, no!
Oh, not economy!
Anything but that!
That's the old Devo song, I think. Working in economy. I think, maybe.
But you're gearing up for that bout with Ellen Bro.
Can't wait.
Where are Devo from, Rich?
Well, they're from the United States, aren't
they? Yeah, whereabouts.
I don't know.
Oh, bro's got you on the ropes. Question one, bang. Aren't they from Detroit, are they?
I thought they were from like a little town, like Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Something.
I'm thinking of Dr. Detroit. That was my mistake. Pardon me. You're right. They're from like Ohio or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we are bros kicking our ass right now. He's sitting at home laughing. He's
laughing it up. So what's Finesy saying about it?
Oh,
happy with himself?
He's the victim, he claims.
He is the victim.
He's the victim of it. Now it's gone tabloid. And I love the way that once you sell your story to the British tabloids, somehow you start to talk like the people who write the British tabloids.
Ah, is that right?
Here's a quote from the hostie in question. This sort of attraction happens to people all the time. Mm. It's just not usually with a Hollywood star at 35,000 feet. That sounds like a normal person talking. She'll be talking about boob dents and baby bumps in no time. That woman, she'll be an insider source or fellow diner.
She is. Cubicle enthusiast.
Mile High Club. I mean, I can honestly say I've not signed up for the Mile High Club.
And when I'm on a plane, because I often sit near the wing, exit row style.
Right.
So it's right near the toilets as well.
Yeah.
And I'm always on the lookout. For one going in, two going in, one coming out. Doesn't happen.
Still trying to crack the 3 foot high club. Where is Rafe? Is he filming a movie? Is that true? He's on set?
He's in India, I think, at the moment.
Snakes on a plane too? No?
Hello!
Look out.
Someone's been working on the weekend.
Oh, Rich! You know, and you set yourself up for it too.
Yeah, I know.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you.
That's beautiful.
Nice work.
I'll help you out. Todd and Brandt, apparently, they joined the Mile Down Club. That's what I read. Where was my boing?
Oh.
Okay, there's lots of other celebrity rubbish to get to. It's piled up here. Nikki Hamilton, I know that amount of fingers. I know that's time for music. And get this. What mix is that?
That's a wild acoustic mix.
It's kind of dodgy, Andy.
I likes it.
About 20 seconds of people just going, That's an improved version of Lips of an Angel by Hinder here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Politics. Have we got anything to say about politics today?
Lots.
Oh, look, what's going on over in Baghdad? Have a listen to this clip.
Bombings?
Well, you judge for yourself. Listen very closely to the background.
The US Secretary of State has paid a surprise visit to Baghdad. Condoleezza Rice met with Iraqi officials to check on the progress of a new security plan to reduce violence in the city.
I want to say that we're very impressed with the leadership of the Prime Minister and his team. Thus far, we believe that they're clearly showing that this can be a new phase for the people of Iraq.
Oh, that war was virtually won.
Going well.
Yeah. And David Hicks, that business, did you see Alexander Downer on the Sunday program yesterday talking about whether it's just some, you know...
Is he pro-Hicks?
Well, it's an election year, so yes, apparently. Okay. Although, you know, maybe that's not fair. Listen to Laurie Oakes.
Now, does that mean you want the Hicks issue off the agenda before the election because it's a problem?
Well, it's not so much the election. I mean, it's, I think the program that you've just shown demonstrates... don't necessarily agree, of course, with all of the facts there.
No, I've always had a problem with facts myself. They just get in the way of business, I find.
Sick of facts? Sick of facts proving them wrong.
Pesky facts!
As soon as we get rid of them, everything's going to be all right.
Other big story, Sylvester Stallone.
He's in town.
Yeah. And he was, we still don't know what was in the bags or up the back door, wherever it was. It was described as possibly being a performance-enhancing substance. What would a performance-enhancing substance in a Sylvester Stallone film be? A large screen to place in front of the actor. I would have thought. The marbles he puts in his mouth before speaking. I don't know. What do you think?
I think he's here to sign up the rights to Mercedes Corby's story. I think he wants to play Mercedes.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I know it's a bombshell, but I think he either wants to play Mercedes or Anna Coven or whatever her name is. I think he's got his eye on it.
Anna Coven?
What's her name? It's the new Today Tonight.
Anna Corrin.
Yeah.
Oh,
Anna,
sorry.
Anna Coven hosts the weekend program later in the... What are you talking about? And of course... Oh, but then you go, what was it? What could he have had in the bags? And then I read this morning, Stallone 60, keep that in mind, is on his way to Thailand to film, and I didn't know this was happening, a fourth installment in the Rambo franchise.
Oh, dear.
What might a 60-year-old man who's starring as Rambo have in his bags? something for the man boobs, I'm thinking.
I've heard that they're the big thing in plastic surgery these days is man boob liposuction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's huge. Really? Rich is nodding.
Yeah, no, I've heard of that. And also, I hate to bring it back to the man whose arms exploded.
You don't hate it at all.
You don't hate it at all.
You live there.
Yeah.
But one of the big side effects of steroid abuse is your man boobs. And so this guy had some...
What are the positives? Like, initially, was he getting massive? Was he really muscly and stuff?
I guess it... I mean, I don't want to stylize it or make it sound great.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously wrong. But obviously, it helps you, you know, bulk up. You know what I'm talking
so
about.
So all that bulk on your arms is coming from the gonads, according to that clip you were playing. Testicles the size of peas is the price of the gun.
Testicles the size of peas. Gosh, darn it.
Wild.
Why is there a fourth Rambo film? What will happen in it? Are there more people still in Vietnam? Hasn't he rescued everybody by now? They're going to be quite old.
He's going to go and braid some hair.
All right.
But hopefully he'll get... Hopefully we'll get back to the good old days of action films where it's, you know, Colombian drug lords and Venezuelan arms dealers doing it. Broad daylight.
Broad daylight. Crocodile Dundee 2 style.
Middle of a field. No retreat, no surrender 2 style.
I've just got one final clip here. This was fantastic. Australia's Got Talent. Did you see that last night?
Did they, though? Did they have talent?
Well, it wasn't as slick as The Idol. So, to me, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, same.
The further we can get back towards potluck, the happier I'll be. And Danny Minogue was one of the judges.
What? Oh, I thought she was on.
And there was a fantastic quote from
her. She came out and did a number.
Oh, no. We weren't that fortunate. But at one point, she did provide us with a fantastic quote.
Oh, yes.
This is apparently what the producers said to her after she auditioned to be a judge on the program.
Steve, when you come back, get it together a little bit more because we like the puppies and we want to see you again.
That's what people want. Can we get out there?
I think we can.
That's Robbie Williams. Let me entertain you here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Myself, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalier's here. Richard Marsden's here. Just talking about the weekend. What did you get up to, Richard?
Had a blackout on Saturday night.
A black just for fun?
Yeah, no good. Because I don't have any torches or candles in my house.
Oh, what did you do?
So I had to walk down to the shops, buy a torch, and then look for candles. Shops don't have candles, just birthday candles. So I had to...
Really?
Yeah.
You had to use those novelty candles that won't let you blow them out, or sparklers.
It looked like the saddest birthday party ever. Just, you know, a totally black house.
And how long? How long did that happen?
Only 2.5 hours.
Oh, you poor thing.
How did you survive?
I had to get through it.
No equipment, no computer, no DVD.
Luckily, it was extraordinarily hot, so it wasn't uncomfortable at all. It was just delightful.
Great.
Evening in my house.
So hot.
I had the DVD machine fired up on the weekend. There is a fantastic new 2-DVD set of the original Adventures of Barry McKenzie movie, Australian one. And the documentary is unnecessarily long and detailed. But it's...
Which you love.
It was gold. You want to have a listen to a bit of Barry Humphries talking about when that film came out, it got an R rating. And there was a war with the censors. And he claims it was the first film with vomiting on screen in it. I don't know if that's true, but it certainly rings true. Have a listen to Barry Humphries talking about the censor.
There was a man called Prowse who was the censor. He only had one arm. And he attacked the film.
We had a press conference, and Barry, who was very good at building bridges of understanding with authority figures, reached out to the chief censor, and he said,
Mr. Prowse couldn't be there at the conference, but he would have given his right arm to be present.
And the chief censor told me this straight from the shoulder.
A tasteless, unkind, thoughtless thing to have said, and I meant it.
There you go.
I meant it.
That's the new Umbrella. The Umbrella people turn out some good DVDs.
Yeah, you happy with their work?
They are very fine. 2-discer. Of The Adventures of Barry McKenzie.
2-hour doco?
Over 2-hour doco. That's always good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, top shelf for nerds.
Good stuff.
Well, I don't know what was going on in the real world.
We were nerding it up as well because it was hot out.
Yeah.
And we have pale skin, so we couldn't go out there.
No, of course not. You don't want to do that.
So my flatmate, the Observer's mother in Canada, she has an Oscars party every year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have a sweep, and whoever gets them gets them all right.
Right.
Gets a trophy. I want that trophy.
You're going to be entering in that.
Yeah, and if we win, then she has to send it over. and we get to keep it.
What's the trophy look like?
I don't know. I don't care. I just want a trophy. I've never won a trophy, and I want one.
And is this something you're going to do on your own, or are the new flatmates getting on?
Well, they're all on board because my flatmate Bridget, who's possibly the nerdiest of them all. I don't think she'd mind us saying that. Right. She runs an IT company.
Nerd girl.
Nerd girl. It's like Ocean Girl, but inside. And anyway, so she's downloaded all of the Oscar contenders.
Of the films?
Yeah.
Illegally?
Possibly.
But just for education.
For our consideration. Yeah. Right? Then there's a magical blue cord that fires them into the television.
Probably leave the detail out, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
the show is broadcast now. Okay. I'm not sure
Tony,
if you got the memo.
I'm fully aware, right? Okay. This is going to sound great in the replay. It's 6 a.m. for the Bakers.
Hello to Bakers.
All those churning out the Vegemite scrolls.
Our new best of Get That, the best of Get This, goes out 6 o'clock Sunday mornings.
Brilliant.
It's one for the Bakers. But as you're saying, okay.
Yeah. And so I've pretty much seen all of the all
have
of the,
you?
Yeah, I've seen them all. The Queen, Volver, Babel. Yeah. Sure, it's a toss.
it's a toss, is it?
And you name it, we've watched it.
Right.
But last night we'd finished all that stuff. So my other flatmate, Kat, she had on in a row. There was Smallville, I think, that she taped, and then there was So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
And I snapped.
No.
I said, "Kat, we can't do this anymore." You said, "Surely we're all collectively getting stupider by the by the six ad breaks we've had to endure between finding out whether Travis or Benji is America's favorite dancer." And there's the main judge. This is her catchphrase. The main judge of America's Got Who's the Best, who can flail it the best. It's this. And there was she got a standing ovation for that.
Wow. So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah. And I find that's it. So I'm sorry, Kat. I'm sorry for what I said.
Wow.
But I can't take it anymore.
Right. So what is your Oscar tip? So You Think You Can Dance.
No, yeah, Benji. definitely going to be Babel. I think they're going to love to congratulate themselves for making something so intelligent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, look, I just every year suggest that Mannequin on the Move is going to win the Best Picture. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider?
My friend Charlie had a small role in Ghost Rider.
Oh,
shows up on the day to do some filming. Yeah. Gets there and he says, okay, he had a little bit of movement. He was a motorcycle cop.
Yeah.
He went this way. He went that way. No, he went up. Right? So he gets there, does his looks and stuff, and the director goes, great, cut, that's a wrap, walks off. Charlie has to run after him, tap him on the shoulder and say, oh, I think I've got some dialogue. And he goes, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm off, but just say it to the camera. And he just says it to the camera and off he went.
Wow.
Jeez.
Obviously, there's a premium on dialogue in Ghost Rider.
It's finally made it.
We'll just be over at the catering truck. If anyone's got any lines, just say them into the camera.
Scream them.
Record has been pressed. We've got to set someone's head on fire over there. That's really where the money is. His head is on fire.
Yeah.
Burning, as you'll notice, the shonkiest Nicolas Cage toupee yet. That's going to win the Oscar for shonkiest Nick Cage toupee, that one. I've got a good Ghost Rider story.
Oh, yeah?
And we might get to that later on Get This.
Get This.
Just sad and pointless.
Brought to you by Ben Hurry and Howard Quick. Quick.
It's Get This around the nation, full of roasted cheese and veggies on Triple M, of course, around the nation. If I didn't mention that, you might like to write that down and then read it out to yourself every time I speak. Save me having to say it later on.
That's trying to
save time on this program.
No, I like it.
Here's a way to save time. Stop saying 2007. Just say 2007. Just say 2010.
Well, what did the old people say in the 1900s? Was it they always go '06 and '07?
Did they? You remember that, Richard?
No. No, but when you see old people talk in documentaries and that.
Do they say what? '06?
Yeah, like 06. That's how they say.
I just think 2007. Imagine if you added up all the thousands over the year. That'd be so much time you could be spending on valuable activities.
Or ad space
on
the network.
There you go.
Cha-ching.
Of course, we're sponsored this half hour by people, by Ben Hurry and Howard Quick. Two of our listeners. Ben Hurry says, a lot of people make jokes about my name. Believe me, I've heard them all.
Have you, though?
Every time Can't Hurry Love comes on, he'd be copying it.
That's good. Yeah.
Hurry.
Yeah.
Ben Hurry. See, I don't know. Ben Hurry, that's fine for a name.
It's all right.
Imagine if you were Murray Hurry. Or Harry Hurry. Harry Hurry.
I like that he's found time to hook up with a guy called Quick.
That's made up. The second guy's changed his name.
Howard Quick's a real bloke as well.
Quick used to be Howard, like Howard Jones. He's changed.
He's changed. I'd like to get to know you well. No, Howard Quick has been also receiving emails from the Nigerian royal family.
I see.
Don't they get around that Nigerian royal family?
Sure, they've got time to rule.
A lot of gold opportunities too. And also a lot of emails from people requesting the Richard Marsland Wall of Sound as a ringtone. I think we can put that up there.
That's a long one.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable,
though.
I reckon just that bit, the do-do-do, and the listener's doing do-do-do, and you're doing, you got the touch.
Very,
I think that's a good bit.
Very confusing if you haven't heard the sketch. we can't put that sketch on the podcast because it's got Frank Sinatra and Roy Orbison.
Oh, yeah.
If it can be made to work without that bit at the beginning, we will remix it and put it up there.
How much for the use of Frank Sinatra's work?
$100,000. That's how much you'll pay for a Frank Sinatra song.
Just in a brown paper bag?
Yeah, 100,000.
Left at a bus stop?
I spoke to Bert Finkelstein.
Made up name.
Bert Finkelstein is Frank Sinatra's lawyer, still alive. And I'm going, that's a lot for a song.
What are you talking?
I'm going, we're using it in a film. It's a low budget film. And he's going, hey, you might be making a low budget film. We ain't making low budget music. That's what you want to hear from someone called Bert Finkelstein. Let's hear some music.
Yep.
Could you just bash some stuff around, could you? Do a bit of that. Hit stuff. That's great. Keep going. You can sing at some point if you want it.
All right.
That's Snow Patrol. Hands open here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Shall we get straight up the mountain?
Let's do that.
Short back. Mountain, what about that Britney Spears?
How's she looking?
Britney Spears has gone bald. That's the headline this morning. I get in, a lot of people are telling me, have you seen Britney Spears? She shaved all her hair off. I'm going, we saw those pictures weeks ago. Oh, sorry, other end this time. Fine, move on. Move on. Best to move on. There's the pictures. You can barely see
them.
See because of the flurry of headlines.
Oh.
Oops.
Oh,
people
no.
tripping over to begin headlines with the word oops. You get the phrase Britney Shears.
Yeah.
Snip me one more time. It's just a headline writer's dream. Have you ever done that, Ed Cavalier?
Yeah, I had to once for a play. I shaved my head. I was playing a really old guy,
right?
And I shaved it on the top, and around the bottom. So I just had that kind of headband of hair across the back.
Oh,
so it looked like I'd gone bald on top and down the bottom.
Right, right.
And that was when my mother told me that I looked like I'd been released because of changes to the Mental Health Act.
Cute.
Oh,
so yeah. But that's about the most, So what are we talking? Radical new looks.
I'm just enjoying that lovable Cavalier family moment.
No, it was in public. We're in a restaurant. Oh, look at you. You look like.
Yeah, radical new looks. Let's do that. Have you unveiled a radical new look to the horror of friends, colleagues, and relatives?
Do you know, Britney looks like the guy from Little Britain, the one that's not putting it about, the other guy.
Oh, I met Lucas.
Yeah. She's got a head shave.
Maybe she's got
a Lucas
that look.
About it. Yeah.
I'm a shave for you. I just noticed my
They won't. They can't stop themselves.
That's a beauty.
Yeah.
It wasn't mine.
I got rich. What about you? What have you?
I've had pretty much the same look since about 84. You know that.
I know.
Since you were born, I've pretty much looked the same.
Yeah.
But I think that's directly as a result of a traumatic attempt in, I think, 82 to emulate the what was then described as the haircut 100 look. Chunky jumper, braces over the top.
Ooh.
Perfect for being beaten up.
Nice
hard to get away.
Nice.
They've got the braces. Not going anywhere, nerd boy. So I've remained pretty much the same Where's Wally style since, 25 years ago.
And was it a jumper that you bought? Was it a jumper you already had? Or was it one you went out and bought just for the look?
I think it was one, I may have bought. And then you've got to tuck it into the jeans as well. That's bad. The really chunky jumper.
I just want to punch
into the jeans. Punch away.
Oh, Rich.
Well, I've pretty much had the same look going on as well, but when I was
Were you a goth, bro?
No, I never really. That was when I had long hair at that stage. I used to have it like down to the middle of my back.
You're kidding.
Photos, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably some floating around, but one.
Were you ever tempted to go dreads?
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah, I would have given it a go, but I like my hair clean. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to wash it.
There's your first problem.
If we do dread timber, maybe Richard Marsden will dread up. That could be good.
But there is some footage of me at a yo-yo competition at Elizabeth City Centre.
Really?
In South Australia.
Like competing or?
Competing.
How'd you go?
And I won NXS kick on cassette, but that's a story for another time.
The weapon of choice, what were you using? Fanta?
No, it was a Coca-Cola Super Special.
Super Special?
Yeah, which
you cheat.
Have the spinning.
Inbuilt spin.
Yeah.
Mellow Yellow is the only true yo-yo.
But no, it was just one of those old man Akubra hats that I used to wear and some camouflage pants. And I remember walking on stage and the judge saying, nice style. And I thought it actually kicked off something quite big.
Okay.
Well, I was a homeboy when I was in high school.
Really?
I was all out. I was LA Kings, puffy jacket, starter cap, mustard keppers. You know,
British Knights,
BKs, LA Gears, Patrick Ewings. I would never be caught dead in a pair of Aerosports, you know that. No. Crosby's. Yeah. My friend who had a pair of high tops, which he kept going on about the perforated toe box.
Wow.
The little holes in the front he liked.
I can't remember. We had none of this because it was about the time of punk rock when I was at school. And everyone was too frightened to copy any of that.
A
radical look at our school was getting your ruler and then having it under your writing so that when you wrote a sentence, like the letters had a sort of a flat bottom.
Oh.
You know that look? That was you. We were leading the charge.
On the edge. Look at this guy. He's in Arizona.
Yeah.
Someone's dressed up as Batman and jumped across and run across campus and then run into the desert. Police have gone looking for him. Can't find him. Three schools have been locked down.
Yeah.
He got away.
He got away? But what was his crime? Just running through the schoolyard dressed as Batman?
Yeah.
That's a poor crime day right there.
But
hang on, you're saying that a Batman costume, that would be a radical...
It's not radical if you're wearing it to like a comic book convention or in the boudoir.
No.
But if you're taking it, if you're hitting the streets...
Or maybe during Capril, that would be accepted.
Capril.
I want to see some Batman capes during Capril. All right, radical new looks. Who's got one? Give us a call. Tell us about it. Tell us what happened. 133353. It'll be you too. Here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. We're up Talkback Mountain. We are. Oh, yes. Why not? Let's hear
it again. Let's
see it again. It's just letting people join in their cars.
I've been inundated with calls.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Today we're talking radical new looks, and have you noticed that Richard Marsden is sporting the Nick Rhodes Duran Duran keyboard bouffant?
It sounds like a radical idea for the kids.
Oh, the kids. How many callers have we had?
In total?
Yeah, in total. And keep in mind, a national show.
That have gotten through?
Yep.
Okay, let's say more than none.
More than none? That's good. That's good.
But less than two.
Less than two.
It's a flood.
Look, it's...
But it wasn't confusing. It didn't have the word misnomer in it, like on Friday when everyone hated us. Maybe. Do you think that drove people away?
Maybe we've only got...
Oh, mate, I'm not listening to a bloody misnomer show. I don't understand what they're on about.
Look, maybe... It's because off air, we all started blaming ourselves. Because maybe we've only got one listener. That's a possibility.
That's true.
Maybe my 16-minute story about So You Think You Can Dance.
That's probably the...
Probably a low light. You know what I'm saying?
I did a snakes on a plane joke, which was most unwelcome.
Yeah. That's contributing.
Let's not beat ourselves up.
I think the whole thing about Brittany with the shave business, I think that probably saw off the remaining listeners. Let's meet our audience. His name is Mark. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for hanging in there, buddy.
Nice to have you with us.
133353 if you're unveiling a radical look.
Or even if you just want to make us feel better. So, Mark, what talk us through the look.
Well, my friend of mine decided to give his girlfriend's 2-year-old a mohawk for her first haircut while Mum was at work. All his blonde locks off, and I don't think she's talking to him yet.
It sounds like a radical idea for the kids.
And how did it look?
I reckon it looked great. Mum wasn't too impressed.
Yeah, well,
was there enough to work? Has he got like a baby Suri head of hair?
he had long blonde surfy locks, and he lopped them all off.
The mohawk. Yeah. You know the mohawk in Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
The famous mohawk?
Yeah.
Not real.
Yeah.
It's a bald wig with a mohawk on because De Niro was doing something else, couldn't shave the hair.
It's amazing. I didn't know that.
There you go. We'll fill the segment out with film trivia if we have to. Oh, hang on. They're calling. People are calling.
Hi, Ross. How are you?
Ed, how we going, boys?
Very good, sir. Talk us through your radical look.
Probably about 2 years ago, I had a ponytail.
Oh.
That sounds like a radical idea for the kids.
Were you prosecuted, sir?
Yeah, pretty much. But the thing that really topped it off was in Tango and Cash. Remember the bad guy, the pommy with the ponytail?
Yep.
Yeah, I think everyone just kept on putting that line to me that Stallone says, shame, shame, don't you know Pale Tales are out this season, so...
Yes,
well... Well, yesterday I was at the Melbourne Victory game at the A-League Grand Final. I was sitting there with the Observer, and one of the defenders for the Adelaide team, Costanzo, has a ponytail, and whenever he got the ball, she would look at me and shake her head and say, you just can't trust a man with a ponytail.
Oh, well, it's gone now, though, isn't it?
Hey, Ross.
It is.
Yep.
Thanks for making us feel better by calling.
Not a problem. Glad to help out, guys.
Lovely to see you. All right, thank you, sir. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Ed. How are you, sir? What have you... talk us through the look.
It was at the Melbourne Art Fair, and I'm not from Melbourne, but it could be something that's taking off in Melbourne.
Yes.
A well-dressed man in a grey flannel suit, exquisitely right down to the tie and polished shoes, but wearing on his head a very carefully embroidered pink handkerchief, tiny little pink handkerchief, lined with silver baubles.
That sounds like a radical idea for the kids.
It was the handkerchief knotted in the corners, Benny Hill style?
No, just small square. But the interesting thing was that as it sort of most art things, people were trying not to notice him.
Ah, yes. Yeah. It's so hard to look like you're so au fait with the world of art that a man with a pink handkerchief held down with baubles is in your everyday life.
That's right.
And how did you go, Tony?
I was trying to sort of play the part as well and trying not to look, but I couldn't resist. I just had to have a look out the corner of my eye.
Did anyone say anything to him about it? Anyone like?
No. That's the strange thing. No one approached him. It was almost like the most natural thing.
Wow.
The most natural thing in the world.
It is, of course, ludicrous unless it was religious, and then it's all fine.
Yeah, absolutely right. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, what about our callers today?
Yeah.
Shall we give them all a copy of illegal download?
Every single person, even if you didn't get through, just for making us... All right, we've got we've got one more. Can we have a quick... Oh, my goodness, we're talking to this person.
Oh.
Hello, I don't know your name. Sam, is it?
Hang on.
Sam? Sam, are you there?
There we are.
Sam?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Sam, talk us through it.
It was pretty disgraceful. I had an undercut with a ponytail and one of those hair things that you get in Bali.
It sounds like a radical idea for the kids.
What's the hair thing you get?
I had the works.
What's the hair thing?
Oh, the plaits.
Oh, the braids.
The braids?
Yeah. Too much. Mm-hmm. Too much, do you think, sir? Just too much on the one head? Are you tumbling down the side of a mountain as you speak to us? Are you on a ski run or in a laundry chute?
Has your parachute failed to...
No, I think I'm back now.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you very much. I'm always happy to hear an undercut story. Do you ever think they'll come back, Sam? Do you ever think there's room in the world for them to make a comeback?
I God hope so, because
really?
I had such a good undercut.
How high was it?
It was up above the top of the ear.
Oh,
well,
you're a sick man.
There's a new look for Britney Spears, a new look to inspire the word oops in headlines all across the world.
Hey, thank you everyone that called in.
Everyone gets
maybe
a copy of
a misguided phone topic. Perhaps my idea.
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
I think we can go more misguided in the next hour, where we'll be joined by Damien Lovelock.
Get this.
Repeatedly photographed not wearing underwear.
Brought to you by Nick Callan, who spotted Tony in that terrible John Farnham clip.
Do what I want because I can, if I don't because I want to.
Afternoon, everybody.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
It's the classy second hour of Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Look, it's Damien Lovelock. Give him a round.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I noticed
you're from Hollywood.
Yeah.
You've written a little key so you know who we are. Next to my name, pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Next to Richard Marsden, some buttons, stop and go. Next to Ed Cavalier, sombrero. What's
Ed
that
the
mean?
Hat. Ed the Hat.
Yeah, it'll do nice
well, thing. I heard, you know.
Yeah.
It's in Sydney. Without Ed the Hat.
Yeah.
We
have been there.
We've got a problem on this show with sporting bombshells. We've never really had one, have we?
Mm.
We've never had the right person.
Yeah.
Until today.
Do you want to sort of blow the lid off soccer in this country or football?
Football.
Yeah.
There's a lot to blow.
All right.
Yeah. We can do that.
Okay.
We can get on that. And I just want to say how comfortable I am to be on a radio station with good quality control that prevents people like me and the celibate rifles from being played. Because where would we be if that happened?
I'm
Who knows
sure.
where it'll stop?
Have we got the celibate rifles coming up? Oh, here they are now. Oh, but I think they're being played by Wolf Mother.
Yeah, that's us. Sort of.
Yeah, that'd be fine. But we've heard it here at Get This on Triple M Around the Nation. It's the second hour. Please, a big fat fake round of applause for Damien Lovelock. Welcome. He's with us. 22 years at the wheel of the celibate rifles and talking up soccer on SBS.
Football, Tone.
Football, mate.
Football. Oh, look, see, this is what's going on. You were talking about this off air.
Yes. Mm.
There's a move to depopularise soccer stroke football because it's getting too big. Is that right?
I reckon. What's going on? And I'm not paranoid at all.
Well, if you are, this is the show to beat.
It sure is. There are spiders on all of us.
Right? I feel at home here. Yeah, we are being watched. Now, I noticed that when the A-League got launched and everyone was like, okay, we're calling it football because actually that's what it is because you don't use your hand, blah, blah, blah. And everyone, yeah, okay, that'll be fun, you know, we'll look after these guys because it's always been the country cousin, you know, with the busted front tooth and the homemade haircut. So you give them a pat on the head, send them home with a Mars bar,
so
they'll
cute,
be fine.
You know, they're so cute. Look at them kicking around over there.
And after two seasons and big crowds and sponsor dollars, and everyone's, I just noticed in Sydney a couple of weeks ago that on commercial TV and stuff, everyone's gone back to calling it soccer because I think they're a little tense.
Will in the word wog ball being mentioned?
Yeah, well, I think there is that sort of subtext. And when as Ed was saying at the game yesterday, when you look at the signs being displayed, it's no longer, you know, Spiros Meats,
right?
You know, or the Olympica.
Oh, yeah. Olympic Airlines. It was always back in the day as well.
Yeah. And Hellas Travel.
That's it.
Yeah, right. Now it's actually stuff that
you're saying
people know.
The soccer style football is stealing sponsorship from your old style football.
Yeah. And I think I think people are a bit upset. I think they're a little worried, especially down here, because the AFL guys have always been kind of psychotic about everything, you know.
That's true. I actually have in case you think we don't provide football statistics on the show, I have the weekend football stats. Players and brawls at nightclubs, 1. Players implicated in betting scandals, 4.
Oh,
so
not
it's
bad.
1-4.
Betting scandals are way
there's
ahead.
Your football. Yeah.
But give it time. As the season progresses, nightclub incidents
through
the roof.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We're just heading into the nightclub bashing season.
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, you're obviously seeing how popular it gets, and mad fans, are they getting madder?
Well, you know, just by talking about this, you've just reminded me of something that I want to tell you. It's a joke.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Sure.
What did the arts...
Do you want a boing and a laugh?
Yeah, no, get one ready because no one's going to like it. So what did the art student say to the law student?
What?
Would you like fries and a Coke with that?
Bang!
Away.
There we go. I just thought, seeing as we're talking about nightclub incidents.
Yeah, nice. I love a nightclub incident.
Yeah. Well, because I saw you at the game yesterday.
You were sitting behind me, and I wasn't worried about that either. I thought, that's funny, isn't it? There's 83 million people in Melbourne, and the guy that I'm going to work with tomorrow is sitting behind me.
Tap, tap, tap.
Yeah.
And you're not being watched,
Ed the Hat. Ed the Hat. It's okay. That's why I didn't get up at all during the game.
Exactly. I didn't know.
Any incidents? Did you cause any trouble in Cavalier?
Damien did. His presence alone. I turned around because he left. You know, when you went, you walked to go somewhere.
Yes.
And I heard a huge roar from behind me, and I thought, oh, hello, someone's taking their shirt off.
Scored a goal
in
the dunny.
Yes. Refine style. And I turn around, and you were literally being lofted on shoulders and carried out of there.
I know. And this is the whole thing with SBS and what it means to people who actually follow the game. Mm. They love it, even though we only have the rights to 8.5 seconds of football.
That is amazing.
In a year.
How
now.
Do you do it? How do you broadcast so much football when really you have the rights to nothing?
We use stick figures a lot. And we colour in. We spend a lot of time during the week colouring in that we used to spend on research.
I see. Now, okay. Where is all the footage? Who owns the rights to all the footage?
Roop.
And is he playing it?
I don't know, because he's in hell, I believe.
Well, it's
acting as the Antichrist. So I don't really get to talk to him much anymore.
Lost touch?
Yeah.
They're preparing a luxury suite down there for Roop. Oh, man, what he's going to be subjected to. Oh, dear.
The pineapple. Well,
we might talk about that next. I'll get this. Thank you, Split Ends.
Yes.
Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Damien Lovelock is with us today, allowing us for once to actually talk properly about sport. Has that ever happened to you?
What? I'm loving it. Because Damien, like myself, is a huge football fan.
Yeah.
And we were at the game yesterday.
We were.
And Adelaide, we were saying off air, They were looking all right at the start of the game.
For 25 minutes. Like, yeah. I thought they looked great. I thought they had their plan in place. There was a, you know, for anyone who actually sees a tape of the game, there was a triple save sequence where they'd actually had the best chance of the game to go ahead. They conceded one and collapsed.
What happened? So like, what was that down to? What happened?
Snowtown.
Snowtown.
Yeah, yeah.
In the back of the minds.
I knew it.
Karmic backlash. Right? Karmic backlash.
Thinking of barrels.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was perfectly obvious.
And if people don't remember Snowtown, it was a brilliant idea for a crime because they had a lot of barrels full of bodies and they went, where can we hide them where no one will ever go? And of course the answer was a country branch of the state bank.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Right. It was amazing they were ever found at all.
That's only right. Found out because other people were trying to move barrels in, weren't they?
That's right.
So right. Too full.
Soccer, actual soccer. Ed was telling me about some football-style soccer foot. What was the footage you saw with the people with the soccer ball?
Where was
flinging
this?
A soccer ball around by hand in a film, bad soccer playing? Where you were telling me this? Just before we went to air.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
Was that volleyball porn film?
No, well, is there one?
I don't know.
Before we were going to air, you were telling me about a movie where people in the background are playing soccer and they're flinging the soccer ball to each other.
I forgot.
And you can't even remember now?
I forgot. Oh, no, that was me.
Oh.
Yes. We were talking about the end of Mission.
Goodness.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
It was just because they've both got the Britney-shaved head. I was confusing them. What was this?
Wow. No, Mission Impossible 2, the final scene on the Sydney Harbour, and people are tossing, I think it's a soccer ball, to each other, you know, just so everyone can enjoy it. You know, it's a kind of game that's adaptable to every single
person. I was an extra in a Sears commercial a few years ago, and I got told to tone it down a bit because one of the things that had to happen was I had to headbutt a ball to like the main girl, and then she had to headbutt it into a goal, and then there was that. Then she had to kind of jump up and down, and then they panned away to something else. But I thought they're not going to see me, so when she headbutted the ball in, I hands in the air went crazy, started hugging other extras that were trying to play frisbee.
That looks like
got
football.
The tap on the shoulder.
Ed the hat
turning down a bit. Hat
on fire.
Damien, you managed to write the entire history of the World Cup in 6 weeks. Is that true?
I did, but I only used 9 words.
Oh well.
It was when I was studying Zen.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. No, I was renovating a house leading up to the World Cup. My house, in fact. I don't just walk into anybody.
It wasn't a random job.
No, and this strange thing happened where I ran out of money, but the job wasn't finished.
Yeah.
It never happened before in this country. And I thought, what am I going to do? You know, because I'm going to be like homeless and a landowner. This is, I don't know how to
resolve on your
that
own property
sort of dilemma. Yeah, I'll have to be stealing from myself. And I thought, this guy rang me up from Melbourne actually and said, look, could you do a World Cup history? And he'd rung up 6 or 8 months earlier when there was enough time to do it. And I rang him back and I said, dude, are you still up? And he said, yeah, you got 6 weeks. And I did it.
How
I did
you
it.
Do that? Because, I mean,
I don't know.
Tony Wilson was telling us it took him 7 weeks. I think it was 1,000 words a day for 7 weeks to write his book.
Yep.
And you've done the whole history.
Yeah, the whole every World Cup player profiles, the greatest matches of all time.
What kind of hours were you working there?
Well, I got really sick, so that could be a hint.
Okay.
And it's kind of, that's one of the things of having been a fan all the time.
Yes.
Once you start to tell the story, you remember it all.
Right.
So I only had to look up a few facts, like who scored the second goal in the 3-2 win by Italy? Was it Italy or was it Brazil? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the rest was there, and then this guy proofread it, and luckily for me, wasn't a fan at all. So there's glaring inaccuracies through the book, but that just makes for an interesting subtext.
Yes, absolutely. Keeps the reader on their toes.
Yeah, it's a bit like the joke with the guy with the, you know, the Great Wall of China and the rabbits. You know, you read through my World Cup history,
he's a genius,
quiz.
Guy. He's the best actor on Australian television.
He is
incredible,
he
that
is.
Guy.
If you want to read this compendium of glaring errors, Damo's Bedside Guide to the World Cup is still in the shops.
Check it out.
I'm guessing it is.
Damo, when I was on the break from the show, I had nothing to do. So I was in America for a bit, and I told these guys before, I went to the television museum, watched the entirety of the 94 World Cup final, Brazil versus Italy. Mm. Much better game than I remember it being.
Incredibly tense game.
Yeah.
And the strange thing, the unexplained mystery of the cosmos surrounding that match is Arrigo Sacchi, who's either the greatest coach in history or a guy who played with way too much Lego as a kid and thought that people and bits of Lego are the same. You just interchange them and everything is the same.
And eventually it'll be all right.
Yeah, so when people have like torn hamstrings, that doesn't matter. You put them on the field as the only striker and you have three injured guys on the bench so that when someone gets injured, you can replace them with an even more injured player and you still lose in a penalty shootout.
It's amazing. And it was in sweltering heat. Now, Richard and Tone, who have no idea who Arrigo Sacchi is, imagine Larry David was coaching the Italian football team and had a pair of green Diadora sort of a tracksuit pants pulled up around his armpits.
Mm. And a psychotic break.
Yeah. That's who we're talking about. Mm.
And where do you rank on the coaching ladder Otto Pfister of Togo? How did he go last year?
Well, I've always had a lot of time for Otto Pfister.
Yeah, really?
I think anybody who's got as far as he has with the start that he had in life is a man worthy of great respect. So I'm not a man that's going to talk Otto down. You know, Pfister for me is a definite top 10.
No, we're pro Pfister on this program.
Massively pro Pfister.
We're going to talk about talking your way into things that you're not meant to be at.
Yep.
That's what we're doing next. I'll get this. Richard, if you could wake me up when Wake Me Up When September Ends ends by Green Day.
When hits September ends.
Here, get this.
Reinstated last night, Otto Pfister.
There he is.
There's Gary Bloom giving him some sizzle.
We're talking football, the round style football. Damien Lovelock is here. Did you guys talk yourself into the game you weren't meant to be at yesterday? Or Ed, did you do that? I'm sure Damien was in the royal box.
Yeah.
I had accreditation.
He did. He had a lanyard. He had a lanyard and everything.
I did.
Sent away for a media pass. I said that I was a something or other.
That wouldn't work.
A sports commentator, and my observer was a foreign correspondent. Yeah. We got our tickets. I was very happy.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you put 666 in the corner, so they knew where you
they
were.
They knew
where.
Yeah.
Have you talked your way into something you weren't meant to be at? That's what we're going to play today. 133353 will be the number to call. Have you ever done that, Damien?
I have many times, but really, my Mount Everest was when Maradona came out of retirement to play that qualifier for Argentina against the Socceroos. Mm. I got a phone call from Triple J about 19 minutes before kickoff. Can you cover the game? I said, yeah, sure, mate. So I rang up the media liaison guy and said, have you got a ticket? And he just laughed and then said, I gave away the 10,000th press ticket because this is the greatest player in history, possibly, coming out of retirement. He said, forget it. So I went quickly to the ABC shop where they have the souvenir T-shirts and I bought a polo shirt that said ABC TV.
Right.
And I charged it to Triple J because I had no money.
Nice. Yeah.
Then I went to the stadium and I put some old lanyards around my neck from rifles tours and walked up the media thing and no one stopped me. And I kept walking and walking. And the next thing, I'm on the field and there's Les Murray. And Les says, Damo, what are you doing here? And I said, I don't know, mate. Where can I sit? And he said, I'd go up and look for one of the radio stations that's going to be doing crosses. And I walked in and there was Cozzy. John Cosmina.
Yeah, right.
And so I sat and watched the game with John Cosmina.
That's great.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought, this is it. There is a God.
Yeah.
And it's me.
Yeah, he's following me today. So now I can die happy.
That's fantastic. Have you ever done anything like that, Richard Marsden?
Talked my way into several relationships, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But a friend of mine used to work for Amanda Vanstone.
Where's this going?
Belly of the beast, literally. And in Adelaide, because her office is based in Adelaide, and so whenever we had trouble getting into nightclubs, he'd always say, I work for Amanda Vanstone. And surprisingly, she draws a lot of water in the nightclub world.
Right?
And we always got to the front of the line and got in for some reason.
Well, she is a songwriter.
She's
a recording artist.
She's in the industry.
What about you, Tone?
I failed to talk my way into a gig at Edinburgh where Steve Coogan was going to be. Alan Partridge. And I so wanted to meet him in 99, couldn't get through the door, me and a friend of mine, I think it was one of the Malloy brothers, failed, and we've gone back to the end of the queue and we're not going to get in. And then along comes Alan Davies. You know Alan Davies? He plays Jonathan Creek on the ABC. And I sort of know him through Colin Lane. So he spotted us and he's saying, you're trying to get in here? And I've said, yes. And he said, you'll never get in. Follow me. And he's just walked up to the front of the queue and dropped this, Jonathan Creek plus two, and they've let him in. And he just drops his character name. It's like saying Doctor Who plus one, let me in here. Jonathan Creek plus two opens any door, apparently. But that was a failed one. Have you?
I don't have the guts. No. I'll say it now. I do not have the guts.
Fear of no.
That's what it is.
Fear of no.
I don't have the. I can't summon the courage to wander up as if I should be there, unless I actually kind of should be there.
And you've got a lanyard shortage. You need more lanyards. Yeah, that's obviously the key.
Lanyard works, definitely.
Yeah, there was. Cause
Pine Gap, would it work there?
Probably.
Celibate rifles to 88, let me through. We want to hear if you've talked your way into something. Or a job, Kevin.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I took my way into this place, apart from that.
Please call. We were very lonely earlier on the program. 133353.
Get this.
For some reason, they seem to think they're living in south central Los Angeles and enjoy the thug life, I guess they call it. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Brought to you by the Carrum Downs Cougars Cricket Club Second 11. Although it's best not to mention that game against Dramana on Saturday. Best move on, fellas. You'll be back.
Triple M.
Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Damien Lovelock is with us, and we're meeting people who have talked their way into something. Who's on the line?
Hey, Paul.
Hi, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, really good, mate. What'd you talk your way into?
I'm a bit of a serial offender, but with this one in particular, it was Dr. Brendan Nelson's acceptance speech.
Dr. Brendan Nelson, Minister of Defence.
Yeah, it was a private party. There was probably only about 40 people there in some function rooms, and I was at a Bucks night. And it was a pretty lame night, so I sort of went wandering around the other function rooms, ended up in there, and the beer was flowing, so what do you do?
And right. Did you have the Bucks party attire on, you know, the fake boobs on the head kind of thing?
I was totally out of place.
I was a mess.
I was a mess, but the beer was flowing, as I said, and after that...
You became his chief speechwriter?
No. I got invited to a morning tea on Nick Griner's lawn.
Oh, morning tea on Nick Griner's lawn. What a name dropper.
Believe me, it was a very, very amusing time. Yeah.
It's good to see that there's zero security on the door of the Minister of Defence's gig, is it?
Yeah, well, he's not the Minister of Attack, is he?
No. Just
the
Minister of Defence. Yeah, very, very strange.
Thank you, Paul.
We've got a whole bunch of people to meet, but we've got to play some music, and I think we're allowed to play some Celibate Rifles. And that's as much as we're allowed to play of that. I'm sorry.
I'm very disappointed that you let that slip in under the door. It starts there, and before you know it, everything's gone to hell. Everything's ruined.
Everything Hinder worked for.
28 years of quality control.
Is anyone
destroyed?
Running, is anyone on their way here from the music department?
Yeah, I hope so.
Is anyone
very shocked?
Okay, let's play the song we're meant to play. Let's get this. 133353. That's no doubt. Yeah, and get this. We would have loved to have played the whole of the Celibate Rifles. What a fine back catalogue still available, I'm hoping, Damien.
Yeah. You can buy it from me.
You're not,
look him up.
You're not in the double pack bins out the front like me and Mick Malloy are these days with our CDs.
That's when you're
at the service station,
that's when
the album's doing well. We're meeting people who have talked their way into something. Who have we got in?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
How you doing?
Really good, mate. What'd you talk your way into?
It happened to be an international awards ceremony for industrial fabric makers.
Oh,
I've been trying to get in there for years. I know. That door list is bitching.
Yeah. How'd you do it?
Well, I was at the Hilton in Sydney for another function that finished early.
Yep.
After a few vinos, I sort of went around looking for the next party. Had a look through the door, saw they had a mime as the entertainment.
Oh, right.
And thought, this is not to be missed.
No, and once you got in there, swatches a go-go?
Oh, it was awesome, yes. Well, the table that I actually sat down at, there was a reason the seat was empty. The gentleman had actually won an award.
Oh, right. Well, maybe there was a mime sitting in it that you couldn't see.
That's right. No, they announced his name. They announced his name and said, sorry, he can't be here tonight. And everyone at the table looked at me.
Oh, did you go up and get it?
No, I didn't. I faked illness and ran out the door.
He faked his way out of the gig as well as into the gig.
Well done, Adam. Thank you, sir. Hello, Darren.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Oh, really good, sir. What did you talk your way into?
We've done it for nearly 10, or usually 10 years in a row now, but we got into the NRL Grand Finals.
How so?
What we used to do is the catering jackets used to be called O'Brien's, and they just used to be a white coat.
Catering suits.
So what we did is we had a sticker with O'Brien's on it, and we used to get empty pie
trays and just walk through the front gate.
Brilliant.
And then they just let us in the tunnel, and then I've done a lap of honour with Alfie and a few of the other captains. And then
lap of honour. There's Alfie with the guy from the catering.
Yeah. And the other one was when they lost the contract, reserve grade used to train next to the cricket ground, so we used to get water, used to get their shirts, whoever was playing in the reserve grade grand finals, grab a whole lot of water bottles, and then walk back in with them as they were going back into their change room.
Yeah. I could see you a place for you in the War on Terror.
Yeah.
Yes. Be alert, not alert.
Running it.
Written all over it.
And you say you've been doing this for 10 years.
Oh, we used to. It sort of stopped since I moved to Homebush. This was up at the...
Moore Park.
Moore Park. It's a lot harder now. Security's been a lot tighter.
It's too far to walk.
You'll need to actually sew O'Brien's on rather than just writing it in Texter.
It's not worth it.
And spell it correctly.
I had a friend, Pete, who would always somehow or another through connections, end up in the dressing room after the game. Anyway, so if you're ever watching the NRL coverage, at the end of the game when they're in there, the trophy's there and the captain's there talking about everyone done good, run hard, and how it was a team effort and there's no I in team. Mm. Look in the background for a young man with a mobile phone up to his ear pointing at things as if he's directing it. Every single year, Pete walks past, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then he kind of points at his phone and slams it down. Uh-huh. Have a look out. He's there every year.
These are great suggestions.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. What have you talked your way into?
I accidentally injured myself playing cricket, and I went to a physical centre to get it looked at, and I accidentally talked myself into getting these Olympic physiotherapists to work on me.
Wow!
How so?
Well, I told them I played for Northcote Cricket Club, and they thought I was playing district. I was actually playing with 50-year-old men with one arm and one leg sort of scenario.
That's a good game.
And how was the treatment?
Well, they asked me to come in and bring my fielding runners, batting runners, and bowling runners. I only had one pair, so I didn't bother going back again.
No. Right. And was it Olympic standard treatment?
Yeah, well, I started filming my run-up for bowling and stuff like this.
Ran it into the computer, see what your technique was like?
Yeah, and they said it had some sort of rock action in my foot, which is causing the injury.
Putting you on a testosterone drug regime.
But the big thing was, every time I went to pay, because I went about half a dozen times, they kept giving me a discount. And I went to my club and said, look, is this physiotherapist place on the list? And they said, no, they think you're playing for district cricket. So
there you go.
So I stopped going back, guys. But
still, the run-up's improved,
after the ninth time. Yeah. Because you're an honest man.
Let's meet our next criminal. Who have we got on the line?
Hey, Graham, how are you?
How are we, guys?
Good, thanks.
I managed to snag become a Hollywood agent for a lady over there through an internet poker site.
Oh, was it Meryl Streep?
No, Pamela Gidley is her name.
Yeah, and Pamela Gidley.
How did you do this?
Just talking to her. A friend made a movie a couple of years ago called The Crop. You might have heard of.
Yes, we know The Crop.
Yes, well, I know the gentleman who made it quite good, and we've just been talking, and she's out of work, and told her what I did, and showed her, you know, bits and pieces of the movie, and I've managed to snag her agent's fee if she does work with George on his next movie.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
10% of her gross income.
Well, congratulations.
You didn't used to sell land packages about a mile off the coast in Queensland, did you?
I sold Raymond Island 5 times.
You're not a member of the Nigerian royal family, by any chance.
If the money's right, paint me black.
Hey, do you reckon that woman will be listening to this show? Possibly not.
I hope not.
Yeah. What other, you know, gigs?
She'll be annoying me when I get home. I know that.
Oh, I see. Very true. Thank you, Graham. Libelous.
Is that the guy who was representing you for the KFC ads?
No.
All right. Yeah. Have we got time for one more?
Hi, Chris.
Hi. How are we doing?
Good. Thanks. What did you talk your way into?
Well, over in London, being the clever people they are, they mistook me for someone said, oh. You know, you remind me of someone famous.
Russell Crowe, do you get that much? And I said, well, yeah, it's not surprising because he's my uncle.
Ah!
and so we were outside a nightclub and they wouldn't let us in. And they, someone with us turned around and said, you don't realise who this is, do you? This is Russell Crowe's nephew. So me and six mates got into a nightclub all because they thought I was Russell Crowe's nephew.
And what was the initial reason for that? Do you look like him? Were you throwing a phone at somebody's head? What were you doing?
No phone throwing, just a shaved head back to his romper stomper days and deep Australian accent.
And you threatened to sing.
Let him in, he'll go for that guitar! Well, what a fantastic selection. Damien, you have been fronting up the Rifles. Is it 22 years?
28 years.
You've 28 years. Man.
So some of them good.
You would have seen a fair bit of music in your time. Have you ever played a gig with Toe Fog?
No, I haven't. Right. Much, you know, that's been one of the things on my wish list.
Something to build towards?
Yeah. Well, it's a reason to get up in the morning now. Those last couple of ticks in the column, you know, Toe Fog.
Oh, look, we're going to boot this home. Let's do that next on Get This. Oh, time for us to sign off. That was, of course, Snow Patrol here at Get This Around the Nation. Damien Lovelock, thanks for sitting in for the whole hour.
It's been fabulous.
Is it a requirement that you have to be in a band to be on the SBS soccer team, on the football commentary team?
Well, you have to have independent wealth.
Well, we know that. It's a charity gig. But you're saying Liz Murray has a band.
Lezamundo, yes, was a singer wow. In one of the first covers bands in Australia called Rubber Band, and Les still rocks.
And you've seen him in action.
He has rock in.
Yeah? What
Wolf
sort of
Mother.
Gear? What?
Well, he still lets go with the falsetto scream, sort of Ronnie James Dio style.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, often at the games, which is quite stimulating.
And when you see the Rubber Band, what do they close with?
Well, the Rubber Band you haven't seen for 35 years.
Oh,
but when they did, probably whatever you wanted to hear, pretty much.
They were taking requests.
Yeah, Human Jukebox.
Now, last time you played The Basement, you did Exile
on
Main
Street. Yeah, last Friday, I did Exile on Main Street, which is just something I wanted to do, and I realised after 30 years waiting, I better do it.
Yeah,
nobody
whole
else was going to.
And Les was singing. Les was singing.
Yeah, Les did Sweet Virginia and then a couple of songs in the encore.
That's great. Fantastic. Hey, is there anything you want to plug, Rifles-wise?
We're still alive. I'd like people to know that the Silver Rifles are, in fact, still alive. We haven't been killed off yet.
Pencil that in your diaries.
That's right. So make an effort not to play us.
And any book you see with Damo's name on is worth a look, even if it's been written in 6 weeks.
That's right.
To
That's
help
right.
with the renovation.
If it's written in 6 weeks.
And it's so cheap now, we actually pay you to take it away from the store.
Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks to everyone who called us up.
Yeah.
And our key phrase today, I think it was Danny Minogue on last night's Australia's Got Talent. This is what the producers told her after her audition.
Steve, when you come back, get it together a little bit more because we like the puppies and we want to see you again.
Yeah! And we'll be back tomorrow with Tony Moclair. And it's all thanks to, as yet nobody except possibly, Ted Blurn.
Reinstated last night, Otto Pfister.